Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We have been broadcasting our service since September 6, 1936. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Have you ever met a person who never grew up? Do you know this same thing can happen in the Christian life? There are Christians who never mature, and the Bible talks about it. I'm going to discuss it today in my sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that we have entered into your kingdom by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we may not remain there as infants, but rather that we may mature into men and women of God, making your name known wherever we go, through what we say and the lives which we live. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Hear God's word as it is first recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you still are not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? The second reading is found in the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews, beginning with verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. As an introduction to my sermon today, I'd like to introduce you to a person by the name of Joe. Had you been Joe's classmate in high school, you would have described him in this way. He was a good-looking guy, with a nice personality most of the time, though there would be occasions where his temper would fly. He was a good student, that is, he had a good mind, but he could have done a lot better if he had only worked harder. He was a better-than-average athlete. He always made the team, but he was always getting chewed out by the coach because he was lazy. That was the Joe that I knew. And then I moved away and never saw Joe for many years. I knew that he had the potential to become an outstanding person, but I often wondered what really happened to him. And then there came that day when I returned to my hometown to attend a high school graduation reunion. And who did I see there but Joe? I decided I wanted to spend a little time with him, and so we went to lunch together. And in our conversation, I learned that Joe had not done very well. He had been married twice, and he seldom saw his children from the first marriage. He had attended two colleges but never got a degree. He had employment and was able to make a respectable salary, but it was evident that Joe preferred to play rather than work. At this same reunion, I visited with a friend who had known Joe from high school days on. And when I asked him, "How do you describe Joe?" he hesitated just a moment and then he said, "I think these words say it all. You can best describe Joe as a person who never grew up." Isn't that interesting? Rather pathetic too, isn't it? But how often that is true in life. There are many people who never grow up. It's a very interesting fact that the scriptures spend considerable time on this, that we are to grow up spiritually. Here, St. Paul, writing to the people in Corinth, says to them, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ." Now, it does not mean that he was talking to unbelievers. They were Christians. He called them brothers. But he then went on to say to them, "You know, you are mere infants in Christ." He goes on to say to them that you're still being fed with milk, and by this time you should be taking solid foods. This just shows your immaturity. There's evidence of this in the way that you live. If you had matured in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ would have caught you. But you continue with a jealous spirit, and there is quarreling among you, within your families, among your friends. There is all kinds of hatred. And that type of behavior spells spiritual immaturity. You can only be described, St. Paul said to the Corinthian church, as Christians who never grew up. Now, if you turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Hebrews, and it is not sure who wrote this book, you have much the same message coming from that author. Here he writes, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are so slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. And anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness." Again, he's saying you never grew up. Now, when he says that you ought to have been the teachers by now instead of one being taught, this does not necessarily mean that we have to take that literally and that they were to have stood before a class of people, wherever it might have been, and told them the great truths of the Christian faith. But rather it means that by this time you should have had a grasp of what it was to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You should have been able to have grasped some great truths like this, fathers. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn about from it. Have you really understood that? If that be true, then why do you not spend time with your children talking to them about Jesus Christ, telling them what Christ has done for you? Isn't that a mighty message for the church of Jesus Christ today? The same message that was given to the church of the New Testament. If you really are mature in Christian faith, you do more than simply read that marvelous passage in the 32nd Psalm, where it says, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord," and then you forgave the guilt of my sin. Have you matured in that verse? That's a verse that has come to you directly from God, the writer of the Hebrews could well have said, and certainly could say to us today. If we have matured in that, why do we live with so much guilt? If we really believe that God forgives us our sins, Why then can we not forgive ourselves through Jesus Christ our Lord? Yeah, there are all kinds of examples of spiritual immaturity that our text today is telling us we should leave, and we should permit the Holy Spirit to work in our lives in such a way that we grow up. Let me just give you four of these examples of spiritual immaturity. Here's a person who at one time was really on fire for Jesus Christ. He perhaps has been converted, came from darkness into light. And when he has really laid hold of Jesus Christ in that sense of the word, he is a great, zealous person for God. Sometimes he is so zealous that he will become rather critical. I have had my encounters through the years in the ministry with people like that, but learned that just let them go. Don't try to quiet them down. Don't throw any cold water on them, for it is likely that it will not be too long before they will begin to cool off spiritually. Sad, it really is sad. But there is some other great experience that comes along in life, and so suddenly Christ is put into his right place. That sign of not continuing in that zeal and letting it increase is a sign of immaturity. In other words, the Christian is one who by God's grace accepts Jesus as Savior and Lord, but then wants to begin to walk and to live with him, and his life changes from one year after another. That's a sign of immaturity when that growth is not there. Here's another sign of immaturity. It's anxiety. Remember that Christian in Jesus' day, at least a lover of his, by the name of Martha. Mary and Martha, how he loved to come into their home, and they were so good to him. But one day, Jesus had to say to Martha, "Martha, grow up. Grow up, I'm here now. Mary, your sister, wants to hear what I have to say. She is anxious to hear these great spiritual truths, and you're out there in your immaturity trying to get some food ready. I respect what you're doing, Martha. It's good, it's kind, it's showing love for me. But there comes a time when you need to sit at my feet." If you would, that anxiety would fast go away. Have we experienced that, friend? This is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to give to us. Let's take another one. If we are pretty immature, life is reduced to financial success, and that takes precedence over family and friends. A conversation with an immature person, though he may be a Christian, will inevitably end with a discussion of material wealth. After all, that's what's important in his or her life. Everything finally seems to settle down to the dollar bill. That's a sign of spiritual immaturity. What would happen in that person's life if he really began to grow up? And Jesus' great words, "What does it profit a person if he gains the whole world but loses his soul?" would become a driving force in his life. It was not long ago that I listened to a head executive of a huge corporation. During the course of his talk, he was telling about the future. And he said, "You know, young people today have tremendous opportunities. There is no end to where they can go with these great companies that are now really for the first time coming into being." When we had the question and answer period, one person asked the speaker, "Let us say that a young man joins your firm. He has a child or two, a young wife, and he just loves being home with them. If he were to become one of your employees, would it be necessary for him to be transferred all over the world, sometimes away from the extended family? Would he be away week after week from his children as they were growing up?" And the head of that corporation said, "By all means. If a person is not willing to make the sacrifice for rising to the top, and the sacrifice would be weeks, perhaps months, away from the family, then it would not be wise for him to join our group. Now, I don't know what an ambitious young graduate from one of our universities would say about that. Would he say, well, after all, I've got to get to the top, I've got to be financially successful, then I'll be able to provide for my family and do all these wonderful things for them and see that they are well cared for in every way? Or might he think, well, I guess those precious hours with my family, training them, helping them to know Jesus Christ, just being with them, is far more important than financial success. The world, immature as far as spirituality is concerned, would easily have the answer, but the Christian would really have to wrestle with that. And here's the last one. There are those who will say the true meaning of life is found in pleasure. It is often expressed in these words. After all, the most important thing in life is to be happy. And when they say that, they mean happy around whatever this world has to offer you. That is not spiritual maturity. Jesus never said that the most important thing in life was to be happy. The most important thing in life was to be his child and to walk in his kingdom and to serve him in whatever way we can. You see, even some of these things may seem quite strange to those of you who listen today. And they are somewhat strange to me as I speak them. But when we grow up spiritually and Jesus Christ has a prominent place in our lives, then they take on new meaning for us. We have to feed ourselves on the bread of life. We need to take God's holy word and really understand what it means. We have to pray that the Holy Spirit will give us the opportunity and the ability to grasp its meaning. For example, to know a verse like Isaiah 43:1. Where the prophet says, I have called you by name, you are mine. When I grow up, when I mature, when I feed on solid food and not just on milk, then I begin to understand who I am. And that begins to talk to me about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that he is not just a God way out there, but he is a God who knows me so intimately that he wants to call me by name. What about that great verse found also in the prophet Isaiah? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. When we mature, friend, there will be a calling out again and again, probably many times during the day. Lord, here I am. Help me, direct me, speak to me, be with me, Lord. That's the prayer of the mature Christian. We have to live in the Word. And then we need to put His Word to the test. We need to trust Him. Haven't you experienced His faithfulness? The loss of a loved one came to you. You knew not which way to turn. And then His Word said, come and I will give you rest. You turned it over to Him. It's like one father said to me not long ago, I don't know how I would ever have gotten over the death of my child had it not been for the promises that have come to me from God in His Word. That was a mature father speaking. There's a term in our day called discipling. We need to disciple one another. Parents need to disciple their children to bring them up in the faith. New converts need to be disciple, lest they walk away from the faith and their experience is only emotional. We began by talking about Joe, who never grew up. That can be true in our relationship with God also. God accepts us as a little child. But listen, my friend, he wants us to grow up and become mature men and women of God. Amen. Lord, help us to say with the psalmist, Thy word have I laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. God, we pray that Your word will lead us to that maturity that the Scripture speaks so pointedly about. Forgive us in our immaturity. Forgive us, Lord, for being comfortable just sitting down and yet remaining little infants. We're fully aware that You have told us that we must come into Your kingdom as little children. Today we pray that You will make us aware that we ought not remain in that spiritual childhood, but to grow up and be men and women of God. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the light of God's Word will brighten your path through the week to come. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit radio ministry supported by gifts from you, our listening family. Since our first estate gift in the early 40s, we have been blessed by listeners planning ahead to help us financially. Estate gifts now make up a significant part of our yearly income and have helped us to offer the gospel message to new radio stations. Have you considered Christian Crusaders in your estate plan? For more information, contact our office by mail or phone. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.